The Drum Candy Podcast is brought to you by Drum Factory Direct.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome into episode 2 of season 6 of the Drum Candy Podcast. This is your host, Mike Dawson, coming to you from Drum Factory Direct in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. In this episode, we sit down with Steven Stetcher of Doc Sweeney Drums to talk about their new Focus Series snare drum. Before we get started, if you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you hit the like button and subscribe to our channel. And if you're listening to this on audio form, make sure you give us a 5-star rating at the end of the show. Give us a write us a review. You can also email us at drumcandypodcast@gmail.com if you have any show suggestions or comments. Love to hear from you. One bit of news here to share. If you haven't seen already, we have a masterclass coming up on April 28th. That's Sunday from 4 to 6 p.m. here in Pittsburgh. It's being hosted over at Hawthorne Drum Shop, co-hosted by the Pennsylvania chapter of the Percussive Arts Society and Drum Factory Direct. We are bringing in Carter McLean to do a masterclass, a real up close and personal, intimate. We're gonna have a couple kits set up, I think, so you can come up and play for them if you'd like. But yeah, that's all on Eventbrite. We are limited seating, so if you wanna get a ticket, make sure you go over to Eventbrite, search for Carter McLean or Hawthorne Drum Shop and you'll find it, and I hope to see you there. All right, let's get into the meat of this episode. We are talking about the new Focus Series by Doc Sweeney Drums. This is a really interesting snare drum that if you follow drum history, you might have seen the old Slingerland tone flange. It has like a metal hoop on the top bearing edge with a big flange that's supposed to focus the energy of the note that when you hit the drum to the center of the snare side to give you more response. So Steve and the guys over at Doc Sweeney took that concept and applied it to a stave shell drum that they CNC down to have the crazy big tone flange incorporated into the shell itself. It is a 6x14 maple drum. Like I said, it's stave shell. It started out really thick, so I think he might mention what it originally started out as, but then they use CNC to mill it down. So all the crazy stuff that's in the shell is actually part of the shell. It's not an attachment. It's not like a re-ring that's floating on top of it. It's all milled into the actual shell itself. These drums come with 8 lugs. They have 3.0 millimeter triple flange hoops. It came shipped with 20 strand steel wires. It has the more classical style perpendicular throw-off, so it actually disengages away from the shell rather than to the side of the shell. It has a natural satin finish, so you see this gorgeous maple wood. And it came with Evans Strata 1000 batter, which is a single ply head with this light sort of textured finish. It kind of looks like calfskin in a way. Very common in symphonic use, but also great for drum sets. A warmer sound than your typical single ply coated G1 or something like that, but very responsive and very dynamic. And it came with a medium weight 300 series snare side. So in this interview, I asked Steve all the questions about the origins of the drum and kind of where they think it should be tuned for its best response and best action, best sound, how they deal with the snare wires, all that sort of stuff. So let's get nerdy with Steve from Doc Sweeney Drums.
Are you normally early to the shop kind of guy? I mean, what is your daily routine these days?
Yeah, I'm usually in by no later than 8, sometimes 7.
Okay.
And then depending on what's going on, I mean, I don't even look up for a while. And, you know, if I do hand painted drums and all these other things, special die techniques. And if I'm doing that, I might not realize it's 7 o'clock at night, you know, by the time I get done. Yeah. Cause once you're in the train of thought about a design, it's like, you just want to stick with it, you know?
Yeah. I hear that.
It's kind of like painting half the painting and coming back in the morning and going, I don't remember what I was thinking when I did this.
You know? How do you pick it back up? That's the problem for me. If I get into like a composing mode, it's hard for me to get back into it once I'm out of it.
Yeah, I hear you. That's why I kind of stick to it until I see it to fruition, you know.
So we're going to definitely talk about the new snare drum, but what are you currently working on? I know you've got something new in the works always. What are you researching now?
Well, right now, you know, we're obviously totally focused on the Focus Series, pardon the pun. What I'm looking at is potentially another species in depth on that, okay, that would truly place the drum in the orchestra environment. We've tested it with Grover wires. We've tested it with Black Swamp wires at the 6-inch depth maple. We are going to, we're actually making an ash one right now. We're going to make a couple exotics, and we're going to test a shallower one. So a 5 or 5.5, you know, outfitted with, I think in essence, maybe the same heads, but we'll move more towards a, you know, a wire, or a cable, for lack of better terms. And we have tested it. It sounds great on the existing drum, but I would like to go with a denser wood, you know, a lot of articulation when it's a very, very dense wood. So we're going to try that. I'm actually looking at building a couple toms with the focus approach. So we're going to build a 14-inch floor tom and a 12-inch rack tom to go along with the 14-inch snare. I think the bass drum would be a bridge too far right now, because it would be, you'd have to start out with an enormous shell. You know, the 14-inch snare drum starts off at 1.5 inches thick, and it's placed in the CNC, and it mills everything that you've seen in that shell. Now, think about doing that on something that's 20 inches and 14 inches deep. It's an amazing amount of mill time. And so we're gonna see how the toms feel and sound. We really think that there's going to be some very interesting capabilities in those toms. So it could be that we end up making specialized toms, you know, somewhat like the octobons, but not as small. You know, you could have a side one that could be a snare or on a tenor or a tom. Mm. So those are kind of the things looking out of the gate. And there's some other little things I'm still dabbling with, but I haven't really put too much meat on the bone. So I'll tell you about those in order.
You know, I think I wouldn't think it's that really, you wouldn't need a bass drum shell, right? Because most drummers put pillows in it anyway, right? So it kind of does.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we're thinking the toms would really project and have quite, you remember, they're going to, we could do the toms in a concert style, or we could do the toms, which we're going to test both, concert or with Rezo heads. And I think you're going to get a really nice sound out of the toms, a really focused sound. So, I mean, we'll have to test it. We don't know until we get our hands on it, but we think there might be some interesting plays in having it as a, for some folks.
Well, let's talk about the idea behind this focus series. I've got the drum here. I was just playing it, so you can see the camera. I got some questions about it, but let's start with what was the inspiration?
Well, the inspiration, I've been, in my spare time, I do a lot of reading of drum history, and I've written a couple, you know, I've written articles and stuff like that. And as I was going through it, I've always thought of, is there a way to resurrect some of the things from the 20s and 30s? Because, you know, there's very interesting design stuff back then, you know, solid woods that drums before ply came into fashion in the 30s. So, you know, we're a solid wood company. So we were obviously focused on doing that with the classic collection that we have, which is a replica of a 1920s Ludwig and Ludwig. And as I was researching for an article that I wrote, I ran across the tone flange, Slingerland tone flange. And I found it quite interesting that, you know, this whole, for lack of better terms, a funnel towards the center of the drum, which is common in banjos, right? They have this metal overlay they put on the shell that it mimics what was done in the banjo world, and Slingerland started out as a banjo company. And so I thought, wow, that'd be quite interesting if you did it all in wood. First of all, there'd be a little bit more density. There wouldn't be any rattling because it'd be a single piece. And let's see what happens. So a year ago, I started making shells out of that concept, and we had to buy specialized tools for the CNC machine and everything to get it to work. And we tested different thicknesses, different vent. As you notice, that one has 16 vent holes. We've tried 8 vent holes, 16 vent holes, and just to see how much pressure did we need to relieve so it wouldn't choke. Mm-hmm. And the 16 holes came up with the right idea, or it came up with the right sound that we were looking for. And the 45 degree angle, which gives you a lot of mass in the batter side, which we think once again gives a little bit more control over the sound and a lot more articulation, and funneling all that energy, focusing it towards the center of the snare side, really does make it crisp, articulate, and we think highly sensitive. Mm-hmm. So as I was looking at it, I thought, well, let's try it. We did the classic collection and that did quite well. Let's do this and see if it works. And it worked out better than when, you know, I mean, it worked out quite well. We thought we were really pleased with the first couple iterations of the design. And we continued to focus on it until we came up with what you have there, 14 by 6, 45 degree slope, which reduces the diameter of the shell from 13 7/8, which is what a 14 inch drum is, to 11 inches in the middle. And it, with that 45 degree angle, all of the pressure, all of the energy goes directly down to the center. And, you know, we think it works that way from a sensitivity and articulation, which was our objective at the beginning. You know, we did the hollow core, which you were kind enough to review. Mm-hmm. The hollow core is at the other end of the spectrum, fat and punchy. And this takes it all the way up to, you know, what I would call sensitive and articulate. Certainly we worked with brushes on it. We found that to sound quite well. As a matter of fact, we have an individual that does a lot of studio work, took it out on a gig, a jazz gig, and we had other jazz people were at that, and they really liked the way the brushes came across. So, you know, part of that research came down to, as we did on the hollow core as well, is we did 5 different shell variants and worked through each one of those. We tested them all with the multiple drum heads and wire combos. So everything from a single ply, double ply, we did Black Swamp snare cables. We did Grover 20 strand, 16 strand, 30 strand. And it really came down to where we thought the combo of the Evans, the Strata 100, which I think a lot of people that don't do concert probably aren't not familiar with. It is a 10 mil. We thought it sounded great. Add a little bit of depth to the sound, a little darkness to the sound. And the 20 wires we thought was adequate to get all the sizzle that we wanted out of it and remain extremely articulate without a total, what I would call overbuzz. So that's really how it started. And we've been spending quite a few months going through a number of different models of it. And we think that this one is the one that'll work. And as I mentioned earlier, we're going to, although the standard will always be maple, we are looking into an ash and one, and probably a Paduke and possibly a Babinga one, which would really change the brightness of it and the, you know, the power behind it as we do that. And that's what we want to do. If we do an orchestra-based snare drum, is to have something that requires a light touch to get sound out of it, and will go up as loud as you want it to go, but yet you can do buzz rolls. Everything would be a little more articulate and a lot more projection if we did it, for example, made one in Babinga, which is a possibility.
We had to adjust anything about the edge or the vents when you get in the shallower depths, or you think this will work?
Well, I think it's going to work. I think what we'll end up doing is raise the tone of the drum itself by dropping a half an inch. So we're going to test it with the same bearing edge, the same slope. We would just reduce it by a half an inch or an inch, depending on you know, we'll probably test it at both depths, 5.5. So 6.5, 6 is standard, 5.5 or 5, just to see what we come up with. And then once it'll go back in the studio and probably look at, should we use the Evans Strata 100 on it? There's a staccato version of those heads that are a little bit muted, even more articulation, or a head that I really like quite a bit, which I think would work, is the Remo skin tone. So it's a thinner, once again, raising the sound level, the frequency, that you get a much higher pitch if we use that. And I think it's a really good alternative for someone that's doing jazz or orchestra based work.
So how do you first tune these up? Like, what is your kind of factory setting for this series?
Well, we think on this series, it really depends on drummers, but on this series, we go with a kind of a medium tuning on the batter side, and I would say slightly above medium on the lower side, so not completely cranked. Mm. If you, you know, for example, we had one that we did that was 1/2 inch thick, same exact shell, just instead of 3/8, it was 1/2 inch. And you crank that up and it will peel the paint off the walls. I mean, it really cracks. Mm. But what we found is some of that will, we were trying to keep it as open as we could, you know, with all of the things that we do. And I think lowering, you know, doing at the mid-range gives you the most flexible sound that the drum, you know, so we found it that kind of a medium tuning and medium to high on the snare side gave it the best voice that we thought we were hearing.
What about the wires? Do you have any kind of default procedure for how tight to make them?
Let me turn this phone on. No, once again, slightly tightened wires will give you much more articulation and not a lot of, you know, a lot of additional snare buzz. You know, if it goes lower, in other words, on the hollow core, we went with kind of a looser wire fitting, and it gave you more of that guzz sound that we were looking for. This, we're looking for articulation and sensitivity, so we kind of go towards the higher end on tightening the wires, so you don't have that sympathetic, you know, buzz and extra stuff that we were looking to avoid.
What type of players do you see this drum working for best?
I think it has a lot more versatility than we originally anticipated. And I think jazz players, funk players, and even on the cranked up version, rock and metal players, because it cuts a lot and it cuts right across things. So we think the design and the depth, we went with 6 to give it more versatility across the spectrum, you know, of genres. And so, you know, I do think it probably shines the most in jazz, because we think it sounds fantastic with brushes and with light touches. And we're doing some of that in our own video to show kind of the versatility of it. But yeah, it can kind of play in all games, but I think that would be the side that I would think probably would be the most thing.
Yeah, I think I'd asked you this last time, but as you keep adding to your lineup, like, what would be your 3 Doc Sweeney snare drums for a drummer who has to do everything from jazz to metal to orchestral?
Forks Drum Closet, Nashville's full-line drum store. Celebrating its 40th year in business, Forks is independently owned and operated in the heart of Music City. Specializing in drums and percussion, Forks offers great discounts on all major brands and will beat any retailer's advertised price. From new and used equipment, vintage drums, and marching and orchestral instruments, Forks has something for every drummer. They also offer professional rental, repair, and restoration services, as well as drum lessons. Stop by their storefront at 308 Chestnut Street in Nashville, Tennessee, or call 615-383-8343, or go online at forksdrumcloset.com.
Yeah, well, I think the classic collection, which is a 5.5 depth maple, a replica of a 45 degree, slightly round bearing edge from the 20s, it has tremendous versatility. I think that is one. The other is the Legends series, which is our take on the of the Radio Kings from the 1930s. It has a nice, you know, it's not stuck in one other on any particular end. At 6.5 depth, you can crank it up and it will have a pretty nice high voice. We think that this one is probably going to be added to that list. On the hollow core, we got it is much more of a deep, you know, gudge kind of. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can crank it, but it still has depth even cranked. But yeah, I think those would probably be the key ones. The one that one of the drums that we used to make, and we're not currently making many of them, are the Pure Sound, which is a steam bent drum without re-rings. And that can be tuned really low or really high, even at a 5.5 depth, because you've got a shell wall that's in essence 3/8 of an inch thick of solid, in this case, elm. We did elm was our focus species on that. And that, I think, was really well received because of its flexibility. Yeah, I think we take into account versatility first and foremost. We're not, as I think you're aware, we don't really specialize deeply in one, you know, we're not a mile deep, you know, and an inch wide. We're a mile wide and, you know, maybe a foot deep in terms of how we design, because we want it to be something that can be used in a number of different musical genres. And so, you know, we don't have super small piccolos and, you know, I mean, I custom make them, but it's really a drum that anyone could sit in a gig and play a couple different types of music. And that's what this one we hope is, you know, the Focus series, we think truly fits that bill. It's just, in this case, for those looking, especially when recording in the studio, if you're looking for a lot of articulation out of the snare drum and you want, you know, you want it sharp, sensitive and everything, that this is probably the snare drum to work with, because it's going to give you quite a voice without having to pound it, you know, at least that's our thought. And the others, you know, the others are, you can pound away and on the hollow core and really get some incredibly punchy sound out of
it. Why 8 lugs and not 10 or 6? I mean, 8 seems to be your standard, right?
Yeah, we find that that the 8 lug, we've had a lot of success with the openness of the sound, and we think the ability to tune, the tuning range is quite good, and the ability to tune it we think is easier with the 8 based on the design of the shell itself. So yeah, instead of moving to 10, a lot of what we've been doing is 8. We have done 6. That can get somewhat unruly if you're really not paying attention to it, you know, distributing the tension around. But we find that we're getting a kind of a more open sound and some versatility in terms of tuning that we like at the 8. So we, you know, a number of ours are 8, the classics are 10. So, you know, we've got both, but we've had a lot of luck with the 8 lug layout in terms of versatility and tunability.
And then what about hoops? Have you messed with different thickness hoops and style hoops over the years, or 2.3 steel works?
No, actually the hollow core's standard hoop is die cast.
Okay.
As you might remember, on this, the batter we use in the 3.0 triple flange. On this, we use, stick choppers on the classic. We use, so yeah, we kind of we went through the process of testing the different hoop types on both of the last two production models. So we go through and record it, see what it sounds like with diecast, see what it sounds like 2.3, 3.0. We haven't tried it with wood hoops, but that is something we will do. We think the wood hoops might sound kind of interesting on the Focus series.
Mm-hmm. What about like solid brass hoops? Have you noticed much of a difference?
We have done custom jobs. We've done, and I think it does sound quite good. And you know what, the issue that you have with that is using them raises the price of the drum quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And sometimes to the point where, you know, people aren't going to cost justify spending an extra, let's say, round it off and say $100, you know, for, is there that much of discernible difference between a 3.0 and a 2.5 brass? You know, I don't know. Engineers will argue one way or the other probably, but some of the best sounding drums we have put out are, you know, shallow snares with the 2.5 brass hoops. I think they sound great. It's just, I'm not sure, you know, when you're looking at doing it on a production basis, those hoops can be hard to come by. Yeah. And they're very expensive. And I think for a lot of people, there's just not enough difference to justify spending an extra $100.
Mm-hmm. Our last nerdy question, what about like internal dampeners? Have you ever added those, or is that a like will not do kind of a thing?
Oh, well, let me show you this.
Hey, there we go.
So yes, we do internal dampeners. I just did a 14x4-inch steam bent walnut for a jazz guy out in New York, and he demanded having an internal muffler, and I kind of like it. I mean, you know, it instead of moon gel, you just tighten that up a little bit, and there you go. You've got your version on the top of your head. So I think it makes sense. Matter of fact, they were in snare drums when I first started playing in the 70s. Even the marching drums sometimes had them, you know. And back in those days, you had different wild heads and all kinds of other things, but I think it's a cool thing. I actually like doing it, but you know, you have a lot of people wouldn't touch a drum like that with a 10-foot pole, which I don't understand. But so yeah, we do.
Have you found like
we've tried a few different types?
Yeah, that was my question, because I feel like there's only a couple that are even worth putting in a drum. Like, which ones do you end up using? Have you found a model that's perfect for you?
Yeah, the model that I have on these walnut snares here is a Rogers piece. We have used Kanopus, which is kind of the old baseball bat. You remember the baseball bat, Ludwig ones from the old days? Looks like a little tiny baseball bat instead of a turning knob. I've used those on a number of drums, and they seem to work well as long as you install them properly. I think that, you know, the tough thing for people is how deep does it go and how do you make sure it engages with the head properly. But I do like the Rogers. I think the old school knob turning looks good when you're putting it on a vintage drum like these classics over here. So it made sense on that drum. And they initially came with standard. We make them both ways.
All right, I did have a chance to spend a good amount of time with this drum. I recorded a bunch of different times, a bunch of different ways. What we're going to have here is a pretty natural recording, mostly mono overhead with just a little bit of spot mics and room mics mixed in. So you're kind of hearing the drum in a pretty natural state. I started, as Steve suggested, medium low. Bottom side was probably medium-ish. Not a lot of tension on the bottom. I actually kept it lower than I would on most drums. So the fundamental note I was getting was 160 hertz, which is around D sharp third octave. Pretty low for a snare drum. It's about a fourth below where it, for me, is like the highest spot to tune a snare drum. So you can kind of hear it in this lower register, how crisp and warm it sounds. I play with sticks, I play with brushes, jazz style, some groove. And then I take it up a half step on each repeat of the demo. So it goes from D sharp to E to F. F is kind of the medium high range. I didn't go any higher than that because I felt like it was best to showcase this drum in that medium low to medium high kind of register, where normally that's where drums have, in my experience, the hardest time settling into a nice tone. It can get kind of wild and crazy, but this thing was really focused, really rich, fun to play, really responsive at all dynamics, even at these slightly lower tunings. So here's the demo, Doc Sweeney Focus Series snare drum. that is it for this week's episode. Please like, share, subscribe, give us a review. Like I said in the beginning, we're at the end of the episode now, so go over and give us a 5-star rating. If you enjoy the show, write in some words, submit them, subscribe to our YouTube channel. If you have any questions, hit me up at drumkennypodcast@gmail.com. Go check out these Focus Series snare drums with all the offerings from Doc Sweeney. They're doing some really creative, really cool stuff. Everything I've played of theirs is sounding great, so go check them out, and we'll see you next week.